Good evening, everyone. For anyone who's listening, we're Skinny E Media. I decided to start a little podcast for myself. I know we have on here Mr. Rob. I don't know if I can mention your surname, but yeah.
Bavister.
Rob Bavister, or Bobatron, he goes by on Twitter. We are very much experts on film censorship and classification, and sometimes crawl around the BBFC page. Sorry, I'm a little bit tongue-tied here. And we're going to be talking about anime for the most part, or to some degree, as a whole, adult animation, which is definitely the sort of thing that's been raising a lot of eyebrows ever since it was popular around like the early 90s with The Simpsons and so on and so forth, and now Rick and Morty and Big Mouth, or for that instance, Akira, all the way to nonsense like interspecies reviewers. So, I bet you're an anime fan yourself, or you like adult cartoons, so do I.
But, well, I mean, it's a bit of an understatement. I mean, I have been on an anime kick as of late, just to give it a try. I didn't watch a huge amount of it during my youth. I think I've watched my fair share, but no more than that. Obviously, I've seen Akira twice now. I have also seen, and you're probably going to roll your eyes or point fingers here when I tell you this, films 1, 2, and 4 in the Legend of the Overfiend series. Yeah, go figure.
Well, I've seen Kekko Carmen. That's a pretty raunchy work as well. Yeah, full of things of, well, for an advisement, everyone, we're going to be talking about some very adult material, so there's not going to be no censorship or bleep out, so I'll just say for what it is, sexual torture and watching a woman being spin on a swastika with knives at her with a...
That is some fucked up shit. Just from hearing that, I can't think that's something I'd actually watch.
Well, for the most part, in my earlier years, I will say this, I mostly got into anime because I liked the girls. I liked the woman.
Yeah.
Went to an old boys school and, I couldn't see, the next Haley or Emily or Veronica, so I mostly had to use my imagination, and I would browse around HMV and Virgin Megastore to see, let's say, the DVD covers for anime like Elf and Lead or Nausicaa Blitz Tactics and XL Saga to get me my kicks. Some of them would even be a bit skimp on the nudity. You know, nothing's left too much to the imagination, but I steered clear away from the LeBlue girls and some of the more pornographic hentai stuff. That's not my thing.
That's the kind of stuff I was actually looking for when I was a teenager. In fact, when I was 18, I managed to get myself a credit card. I actually bought some hentai stuff off the internet from some Swiss website. Obviously, I don't do that now and everything. And it's not a part of my life I'm particularly proud of, and I do cringe looking back at it. But yeah, most of it was dubbed, but I think there also might be an option to watch it subtitled. I only bring that up because of one thing we're probably going to ask. In fact, I am going to ask you actually, Mark. When it comes to anime, are you dubbed or subbed?
I prefer dubbing for the most part. Some of the English language of voiceover talent can be very funny and hilarious. I think sometimes with Japanese subs, I want to focus on the art, and it comes a little bit distracting. It does not work for Western cartoons, though, like Flea or Waltz of Bashir. I like to see those as was intended.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I mean, and the latter part, I do agree. That's why I try to watch my anime subbed, just so maybe see if I can pick up any Japanese. I have a bit. I've watched learned little gems like Arigato for Sorry and Gomain. Arigato for Thank You, Gomain for Sorry, among other things. Ume, which is delicious, and Adata, which is darling, or something that Japanese couples call each other. I mean, I could go on and everything.
But I don't know too many, words and phrases myself. I'm a more of a fluent French speaker, and then Spanish to some extent. But Japanese definitely has its interest. I certainly know a lot of the sort of trade words that a lot of otakus use, like shonen, yaoi, yuri, ecchi, hentai. The list goes on.
I'm pretty certain you know Konnichiwa and Sayonara, as does everyone.
Oh, yes. Hello and goodbye.
Yeah, well, Sayonara is the most famous well, other than au revoir, most famous way of saying goodbye. Well, then there's the Spanish adios as well. In fact, adios and sayonara are probably the two quote-unquote coolest ways to say goodbye, because they sound really, well, just really awesome when you follow up with the word motherfucker before you dispatch a bad guy in an action movie.
I'll probably say Hasta La Vista comes close into that camp as well. Everyone loves Terminator. And then, but in my experience, I mostly say Arvidese. I've got some Germanic ancestry from my father's side of the family, so I'm kind of obliged to use German words here and there, or tot ziens, which is the Dutch or Flemish way of saying goodbye, or au revoir, à bientôt.
Well, fair play, fair play.
But I'm mostly going to be doing this podcast in English. My language skills in Nipponsu is a bit shy, but, you know...
Better than mine, so I wouldn't worry.
Definitely a point of a discussion here and there. So I will ask, because I know for anyone who's just a little bit curious, sorry to get off task, anyone who's curious where Tom is going to be, he actually didn't want to do this podcast because he doesn't know as much about the subject as we do. So it's mostly just going to be me and Rob for this most part. How did you get into anime?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say I've necessarily got into it originally. I mean, I suppose when I was younger, there was the fact of, ooh, I might be able to see some boobies or something like that. Something to watch behind closed doors when you're a hormonal adult teenager. As I got older, it's more of a case of, well, that's some anime I like, some I don't. I mean, anime is just Japanese animation. You know, it's not a genre, it's a medium. Yeah, maybe so. As I said, maybe somebody likes me, don't. I have, of course, recently been on a quick bit of a kick because I saw the advertisement for the third My Hero Academia film at the cinema, and I wanted to watch that because I just wanted to see an anime film at the cinema because I hadn't seen it before. So I started swatting up on that before I went to go see it, and then I saw there's so much anime on. On Netflix, like Cowboy Bebop, which is obviously the goat of anime, as many people would say. I trust. Have you seen it, Mark?
I sure have. One of my favorite episodes involves them getting high off mushrooms. Yeah, drunk use was... is not very common in Japanese animation. And then I've got the movie as well on DVD. It's a strong 12. I'll give you that.
Well, the MPA gave it an R rating, so. But the website, High Impact Classification, are you familiar with them?
Yep, I visited their website a few times, saw about what they were discussing about anime, including Elf and Lead.
Right, they were discussing films that are R-rated in America, about 12A over here. The Cowboy Bebop movie came up, and they said, no, the BBFC made the right decision. You know, it may be a strong 12, but it's not really going into R rating territory. They reckon the MPAA may have been a bit too zealous on that one.
I would kind of err on the side of caution on that one because, well, from my experience, the times I've visited in the States, Cowboy Bebop is TV-14 in the US, which is the equivalent of PG-13. The movie in question definitely has bits of graphic violence, but I would argue it's just slightly stronger than Princess Mononoke, but not quite Perfect Blue or Ninja Scroll is the best way to put it there.
I get that.
In terms of violence, but and there's also what appears to be implied sexual assault that is aborted. Instead, someone else is stabbed who intrudes in after... Oh, well, I'm giving spoilers away. You haven't seen it.
I mean, a huge amount of words, but I am somewhat understanding.
So, I would be more on the 15 side of things. Just like with Mononoke, I would be more on the 12, 15 side of things. That was a really violent film from Miyazaki.
Yeah, great. That was a PG over here, PG-13 America. But yeah, again, High Impact Classification did agree. The MPAA got that one right. I was watching it, I was thinking... Yeah, definitely. It's because it's only a PG over here because A, it was back when 12 was restricted, and B, goddamn Furman, and he was always renowned for being light in animation. Another example we're gonna bring up, of course, Akira, probably one of the most famous anime films of all time, along with Spirited Away, I guess.
That was the film that brought Japanimation to the Western Hemisphere. You know, everyone was becoming more interested in it. And it was a 12 certificate when it first was issued by the Boyish Board of Film Classification.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the point I was getting to. Yeah, obviously when it came out on a video at the time, because 12 wasn't available on videos, it did get bumped up to a 15, but only for that reason. However, all subsequent releases, both on video and cinema, have been maintained as 15. And yeah, rightfully so. I mean, it is way too violent, way too dark, and a bit rapey in some places for a 12. America's MPAA recognized that, gave it an R rating, and yeah, they're on the right. I don't usually side with whichever board gave it a stricter rating, as you may have picked that up. But no, in this case, the MPAA were right. BBFC dropped the ball or the first time round.
No, you're absolutely right. I think the R rating definitely is a giveaway that something is a bit off on this work particularly. Even more shocking, in France, they gave it a tout public, which is all ages.
In France, there's just so many films that have been given like to public. I mean, Die Hard was given one, just given 12 ratings. Like the 2012 Dread film was given a 12 rating. Have you seen that?
I have. Slow motion graphic violence and implied castration. Bunch of cardinal sins.
It's just the relentless violence and bloodletting. It's like, yeah, no fucking wonder. It's like a level of RoboCop it got in 18. I mean, that America's MPA gave it an uncut R rating just shows how much they'll let go.
Exactly. But at the same time, they were a bit picky about Raid 2. They said you had to trim some of it to avoid an NC-17 and Possessor Uncut. That was threatened with the NC-17, but they trimmed an R-rated version of it, but no one has seen the censored Possessor version. Anyone who's curious about that film, it's from the son of David Cronenberg.
Right, I've seen Raid 2. I don't know if we in Britain got the fully uncut version. We probably should do, because what's the point having
no actually you did version? You got it uncut in UK and Ireland. Canada sweet. Got it 18A, but for some reason the US said nope. It's because different distributors were involved, so maybe they said, yeah, you can have this but you can't have that.
It's very possibly, but we know in America you can't release things with an NC-70. They need to grow the fuck up about that and just embrace that. But again, that's not what we're here to talk about. We're talking about anime.
Exactly. I know I've got off a little bit off tangent, but I will not to interrupt you. But yes, with anime, I mostly got into it mainly because, you know, I saw attractive women on the DVD covers. With Elfin Lied, Nausicaä Blitz Tactics, Mad Lax, XL Saga, and a few other titles that caught my eye. Because I was at an old boys' school at the time, so I didn't really meet too many people, at least feminine, that were of age. So, yeah, my imagination went wild. Unfortunately, what happened with anime is that I just stopped watching it. Like around 2010, it just wasn't interesting anymore. Except for a few isolated titles, I never really caught up on it until just recently, again, as part of a nostalgia trip to revisit titles I never got to finish. So just not to interrupt you there, but yeah.
No, it's okay. I'm not sure if I really have much to say anyway, because there's a lot of topics we can cover, because, you know, I mean, there's other things. You've seen One Punch Man? I have watched that. I watched One Punch Man.
Not to be rude, but most of my titles that I'm aware of are from 1998 to 2008, as far as anime is concerned, so I don't really know a lot of the new stuff, except what comes out in cinemas, like Demon Slayer or Jujutsu Kaisen.
That was an awesome flick, that was. Well, but if you have access to Netflix, I'm presuming you do. Do you?
Yep, well, I've got Netflix and Prime.
Well, to be honest, Netflix is, if you like anime, Netflix has almost got you covered. You've got Cowboy Bebop, you've got My Hero Academia, and I'd recommend that. You've got One Punch Man, as I mentioned. You've got the first series of Demon Slayer, and you've got Agretsuko as well. Have you watched that?
Not familiar with that one title.
That's more of a kid friendly one. It's about like this anthropomorphic red panda who
sounds a little like Doraemon or Totoro.
Yeah, it's made by the same people who made Hello Kitty. it's okay. A bit more adult than that. I mean, it does deal with some adult things. The third season, which got 12 instead of PG rated, does dwell into some dark shit with her becoming a pop star and being stalked. And not to get too much into spoilers, but there's one scene where you do see a stalker flash a box cutter preparing to stab her. And it is a little creepy. But anyway, the point is, I mean, that's another thing that is always good to watch. Obviously, I liked it because of the death metal.
That's your favorite music genre?
Well, not that specific genre, but I'm into metal, and yeah, that includes death metal.
Ain't nothing wrong with that there. I'm an electronic type of person, so I tend to gravitate to stuff like Lane or Technalize, which has the heavy use of synthesizers, the trip-hop sound.
There's a lot of music now that tends to blend the barriers between both metal and electro EDM music. It's actually quite it's quite interesting, actually, and worth checking out. But again, veering off topic.
Oh, yeah, so let's reel it back in for everyone out there. But I know anime have a weird experience with film classification and censorship, at least in both countries. Now, for anyone who is curious, in America, it's a little bit more loose because most of the distributors over there, at least like ADV, Genion, Funimation, and Crunchyroll, they will usually self-position a rating themselves instead of going through a higher body like BBFC. So they will sometimes say, oh, it's TVMA, it's TV-14. This is for 16 and up. Oh, this is 15 plus. So it's plays a little bit loose there, but at the many times you can get titles that are very strong, like Elfen Lied or Speedgrapher, that would confound expectations here. Now, I don't know, you probably haven't seen those, but they're 15 certificates back in the UK. Elfen Lied is one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen cartoon wise, Western or Japanese, involving exploding heads, dismemberment, child nudity, child rape, animal cruelty, and a whole bunch of cardinal sins I will not openly repeat on here. That I have to wonder, what were they thinking? This was not during Furman era. This was actually during the Quentin Thomas days, 05, 06 era. Jeez. And then Speedgrapher, not quite, as violent, but it does have a lot of scenes of sexualized torture and threat, including scenes where a man gets a thrill from what it appears to be, and he has some sort of wiry tentacle things that are shaped like incisors as he's doing dentistry on a young lady and cutting the molars, and there's blood everywhere, and he's getting all nightmare fuel. Don't show it to young kids, they'll have nightmares.
That's the kind of stuff that gives anime a bad name.
No, exactly. The sort of thing Daily Mail would say, see, this is what you should be warned about, this, pardon the racism, this Jap menace that's threatening on our shores.
Oh, totally. They would, there's no way they wouldn't basically just stoke that, yellow peril stuff just to, get their monocles dropping and get the pitchforks baying and the torches and, oh God, I don't want to get on a rant here or anything because, once you open that door, I can't be shut again. So much stuff does get does give anime such a bad name. I mentioned I don't know how you say it, Urotsky, but Legend of the Yoga Fiend stuff earlier on, which is just nothing more than essentially hentai that can be sold in shops.
Yeah, and I always found that a bit strange there. Like, you would have explicit copies of stuff like La Blue Girl and Alien from the Darkness. They'll be in the same area as, like, the Akira's and Spirited Away's. And you have to wonder, what's going on here? I usually was a bit fearful of even putting my hand near those DVD covers because I thought it was something was a bit off, and I thought my mother or my father, who was with me, would think I was looking at something I probably shouldn't. It was already bad enough I was, seeing about DVD covers for 15 and 18 films. Just flat.
Have you heard of they don't exist anymore, but it was a firm called Manga Entertainment. They were operating in Britain.
Oh, yeah. Well, Ghost in the Shell, they distributed that, and Akira. I had some of their DVDs, and I'm watching currently Mad Bull 34, which is something they used to distribute, which is this really outrageous, really offensive anime that plays like a anime version of Cops meets the Shield. Good stuff, but they would have cut it quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, totally. And same with Angel Cop. Basically, I mean, Manga Entertainment, they had a process called 15ing, where it's basically make sure the BBFC gave them at least a 15 rating. And so, obviously, when they dubbed this over, for some reason, having to put on American accents, even though most of the things are set in Japan and the voice actors are British, so I don't know why they did that. But when they dubbed it over, they had pepper it with so much bad language just to make sure it got at least a 15 rating. Even though it wasn't even necessary. The amount of violence that was in them made sure not only did it get an 18 rating, it had to be cut to get that as well. Obviously, they did try to just lean into the more racier aspects of anime, the stuff that just gave... that got the tabloids in a tizzy and just get a Nixon a twist because it would appeal to, well, edgelords.
No, you're absolutely right. I'm not too familiar with the 15ing phase of it because my experience with anime was a little late in the game, at least around 06. But like a title like Paddleboard does not need a 15. It's a PG work with sci-fi violence. You don't need excessive swearing for it, but hey, it doesn't hurt to be edgy when it's necessary. Look at Panty and Stocking. That's a pretty out there and foul-mouthed cartoon. Or Gats, that had a lot of use of the C word, which I've never heard in many animated works at all, except for like Sausage Party.
They didn't even mention it in the South Park movie, which although apparently dropped it in there one time during Cartman's tirade at the end. But to be honest, I don't know if he was. It could have just easily been cock instead.
He said, you know, fuck shit, cunt ass, motherfucking Barbara Streisand.
crying with laughter. Well, I saw that with cinema because you just hadn't seen that much swearing in one go back then. And of course, Sausage Party's pretty much just owned that, just destroyed that in terms of the amount of vulgarity you can just throw at something. But Stars of 1999, that was almost a benchmark.
No, exactly there. Well, they were at a transition period between feminism and then Robin Duvall, he came in. Channel 4, liberal is the new censor, Daily Mail said. So he changed the policies a little bit on profanity. So had this come out maybe at least about 5 years earlier, it may have been
fit would have been with that 18. Oh, yeah, because I remember because the South Park movie was basically, the MPAA was giving them so much shit over it. I mean, just constantly saying you can't have this in an R, you can't have this in an R rating, you can't have this in an R rating. And Parker and Stone were just basically almost at a wit's end of the MPA, telling they're just a bunch of stupid dicks who didn't have a fucking clue what they're doing. Apt. And then she just said, fuck it, just whatever. Apparently they were watching one time, that scene where they watch Cartman's mother getting shat on the kids are watching it online.
Oh, yes.
They're originally watching someone fucking a donkey, and the MPAA said, just cut it out. You can't have that at an R rating. We said, well, what do we need to cut? It's like, and they said, well, we can't give you too much information. We need to cut out. We could use a censorship. So we just changed it, replaced it with the shitting thing, and they just gave it an R rating. And of course, the BBFC watched the damn thing, probably pissed themselves laughing and everything, and just said, yeah, 15. They clearly have got a better sense of humor.
No, they do in this regards. The 15 would make a bit more sense, but mainly because a lot of young people like animation. And they probably were thinking, well, if you're going to make it an 18, they're going to cause even more complaints and problems, especially for those sixth formers and late second schoolers doing their GCSEs. They want a bit of a laugh, so let's just give it to them. I'm sure that did not apply when Jungle Burger came out, which was an adult animation from Belgium or France. That was X, and that was almost borderline pornographic with scenes of young lady, I'm swallowing something that's quite phallic, and then penis type shoulders and a whole lot of cardinal sins. But it's a very good work. But
back,
yeah,
in,
it's
definitely, back in Furman's era.
Yep, this was the Furman days.
Well, says it all.
Before that was Stephen Murphy. You know, Fritz the Cat was kind of the big one that everyone remembers. That was X.
If you saw it nowadays, it probably wouldn't even raise that much of an eyebrow. It's probably quite mild in comparison to South Park or Sausage Party.
Yeah, it'd be a 15 type of work at that. I don't think, unless it's an animated work that's so revolting and has no redeeming quality, or a hentai work, you probably don't need to necessarily give it an 18. Even some of the more... Well, that's up to debate, really, because I've seen stuff like Super J or Mr. Pickles. That's extremely violent, like Elfin Lee type of gore. But those are 15s. But it's, you know, tongue-in-cheek and ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean... I saw the Jujutsu Kaisen movie, Zero movie, just earlier this year. And that was given a 15, even though it was PG-13 rated stateside. I'm not too sure which one got it right. I mean, it didn't seem that violent. Just the previous year, I saw that My Hero Academia film, which had the same situation, PG-13 America, 15 here. It was quite violent in some places. There's quite a bit of blood. I mean, were they trying to... Because it was given the G rating in Japan, you know, their equivalent of a U rating or a G rating, you know, the lowest rating. I'm thinking, really? You put a lot of blood in this, considering this is meant to be a kid's flick. It's just, cultural differences, I guess.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like there. Iron is the system that they use in Nippon. And they tend to have some very strange decisions themselves, particularly, I think Baby Driver, that was G-rated equivalent in Japan. And then 50 Shades of Grey, which is pretty, you know, sexual stuff, but not as explicit as stuff like Nymphomaniac or Nine Songs or La Blue Girl or Legend of the Oven. That's actually R18 in the Iron system. So,
bizarre. And 12 rated in France. So, I mean, you know, just... but then again, just go figure.
Well, a thing to consider as well, Japan is also a very strict country as far as nudity is concerned.
Yeah,
you can show female bodies, but penises and pubic hair. Well, it used to be pubic hair, but let's just say penises.
Yeah.
Nope, you got to axe that, even in the hentai works. They've
got pixelated, haven't they? I've heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's from what I heard as well. It's also because it doesn't fall foul through customs and also obscenity laws in Japan, which don't permit that sort of thing. But everything else is fair game, which in turn leaves Japanese animations to have some really bizarre sexual content that would otherwise be considered offensive or perhaps illegal under British or even US law. I mean, Who on their right minds would think... a live-action La Blue Girl or Legend of the Overfiend would work with the tentacles and the
picture they can't of honestly
childlike
be thinking,
characters being eroticized. That's disturbing.
They can't honestly be thinking of making that, can they? I've not heard that. They can't be making that sort of shit live-action. I mean, that's just fucked up.
No, a lot of, you know... Well, I don't like telling people I've seen Keiko Carmen, but I have. I don't know if it's a hentai work. Maybe it is. Oh, Mezzo Forte. That didn't feel like a hentai, but it actually is classified as one. That had some pretty explicit scenes.
I mean, I keep to mentioning Keiko Carmen. I got Funimation and I've got Crunchyroll. I'm gonna have to watch that just because you mentioned it so much. Now I'm just gonna out of curiosity, again morbid curiosity.
okay. But,
well, I mean. No, not now. I mean, I'll watch it. Go on, but yeah, you keep talking how fucked up it is. I mean, just now, I just got to see for myself.
I wasn't so sure what to make of it. There, it's very pervy, is all I'll say. That some of the perviest sort of stuff I've ever seen that isn't Nymphomaniac or Nine Songs. Now, are you married? Do you have children?
No. I'm single and I live by myself. With my new cat.
Okay. Just making sure, because I don't want you getting in trouble with the missus for watching that sort of stuff. You might So,
dude, I wouldn't
I'm
watch that shit.
You.
I wouldn't watch anything like that if I had anyone else in the house with me. I mean, good grief. I'm not an idiot.
Let's just say this. A family member of mine did sit around to see what Excel's Saga was about. Episode 26. You probably have never heard this show, but episode 26 is pretty raunchy. Sort of steamy sort of stuff like you see our Team America. That was a 15 certificate in a show that's predominantly a 12. Let's just say that didn't go very well, because at the time I watched that, I was about 13 or 14, and it aired on Rapture TV, which was one of my favorite stations on Sky. They used to air a lot of electronic music stuff and like dance, Ibiza sort of thing. Makes me nostalgic. But yeah, I'm sure, you know, with adult animations, the same sort of line could happen as well. Would you feel comfortable about showing The Simpsons, an episode which involves Sideshow Bob killing Bart Simpson? And this is played quite for a while. And you actually see your kid getting his head bashed in and his intestines removed. This is on Disney Plus, mind you. What's wrong with that?
Well, and The Simpsons is done for laughs. It's obviously not taken too seriously. I mean, for that reason, basically. I mean, no one takes what we see in The Simpsons seriously. It's so goofy looking. It's so over top. So done in a way that you cannot take it realistically or seriously. I mean, you'd have to be pretty thin-skinned or pretty silly to get, you know, that outraged or that offended. I mean, I know people did in the early 90s, but that's 30 years ago. It's not the early 90s now. We've moved on. We can handle strong. But we understand that this is just done for shits and giggles.
Oh, yes, of course there. You know, that's how I approached it as. Now, when I first saw, because The Simpsons is, for the most part, the first cartoon I ever saw that was more or less not that family-friendly. It wasn't on Cartoon Network. It wasn't on Nickelodeon. So there was a little bit of hesitation in my household about letting me see it when I did around 6 or 5 years old. But they let in. They said, okay, you can watch it. And I got Heaven and Hell VHS. It was a PG certificate. And that made me very happy. And then since then, I would watch stuff like PJs and Dilbert and some of the more sort of edgier cartoons. And then as I got older, I graduated stuff like Family Guy, which I saw at 13 and 14. But I never got to see South Park. That was still forbidden. I didn't watch the film until I was like 16, 17 years old. So,
because you were born in 93, weren't you?
I don't want to say my year, but let's just say I'm early 90s, mid-90s, right. Early to mid-90s.
Okay, then. Well, I'll just put out here, I was born in 85, so of course it gives me a between 5 and 10 years on you. Yeah, so just like when I think of like, oh, blimey, when you're like 16, that would be like late 2000, blimey. So I'm just sort of putting it in, just sort of puts in perspective for me and everything. But yeah, because, you know, I mean, if adult animation has come a long way, I mean, on Prime, do you have Amazon Prime?
Yes, I do. They have stuff like Invincible and Undone.
That's what I was going to say. Invincible, yeah. There was also what was that Dungeons & Dragons one that came out just earlier this year?
Like Arcane?
No, there was Arcane that was on Netflix. That's not quite that intense. I'm just going to Google it while we're talking. And Dragons.
No worries there. I won't penalize you for it. But most of my favorite, you know, I don't really watch a lot of like the new stuff anymore. Most of my favorite animated works were from the 90s and the 2000s. Dexter's Lab is actually my favorite TV show of all time, in case anyone's curious. But that's a family-friendly work, so it doesn't quite count.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I say, you have a Cartoon Network or Nickelodeon stuff from the early 90s. And, I mean, you had your Dexter's Laboratory, laboratory, as we say it in Britain. You had Rugrats, Cow and Chicken. No, that was the... that was all the cool stuff, but obviously the kid-friendly stuff. You also had your Ren and Stimpy, which did push it just that little bit further.
Oh, yes. That one was fairly controversial to where I believe there was an episode which involves hanging that had to get one particular song entirely removed, even at PG, because it trivialized the subject.
Very silly. And of course, that came out at the same time that Beavis and Butthead did, and that was pushing the boundaries a little bit. Again, it seems so quaint by nowadays standards and everything, because all in Beavis and Butthead is butt munch and ass wipe and dill hole and stuff like that, which of course just, well, that's still PG rated language nowadays. I mean, it's certainly not something that would have to be on after the watershed, but back then that was about as almost as strong as cartoons got that didn't come from Japan, to be honest. Stuff like Fritz the Cat.
Well, yeah, it's not in that same camp. I wasn't allowed to watch Beavis and Butthead when it came out. But I did sort of ultimately see it on MTV. They air it sort of like before they place fucking Hills or some show about people from Laguna Beach in Los Angeles. And they sort of air it along the same time. My first introduction to the MTV animation was Daria. That's a PG level work, but Beavis and Butthead was a little bit more outrageous. And I did see the film on Sky One when they aired it uncut, like in 06 or 07. I thought that was so great. And I was very happy that I got to see this 12 certificate animation on TV for the first time, because at that time I didn't see animated films that were higher than a PG on the big screen. Because when Team America came out in South Park, I wasn't old enough, and that made me angry.
It does make you angry. That does make you wonder, because, in America, the equivalent of the 15 is the R rating. But, of course, the R rating translates to 17A, so kids can see it if their parents feel that they want to take them to see it. And that's so why we're asking. I know this is off subject again, but we're going to talk about it. I'm going to say it. Should the 15 be changed to a 15A just so, younglings, parents can take their kids to see it if they should want to? Which I think they should, because I'm not a complete libertarian, but I am very libertarian leaning, and I don't think people should have decisions made for them regarding these matters.
I'm a bit on the fence on the 15A matter. I know it's worked in Ireland, but for me, I'm still a little bit on the edge about, because there are some 15 works that are so strong that I wonder how people will react to it. I certainly think. I'm just trying.
I mean, the John Wick films are pretty strong and everything.
And then you got some of the more milder stuff like Frost Nixon and Krampus. That I think to myself, like, why on earth is this a 15? This is a 12 work easily.
I don't understand. Well, I reckon that Jujutsu Kaisen and that My Hero Academia film that I saw. I mean, if you didn't think they're going to be rated, they're too strong for 12A, but make it 15A so underfins can see them, because it's just not right to tell, a bunch of 10 to 14 year olds they can't go see that film because they can handle it.
Yeah, I haven't seen Jujutsu Kaisen, but I would very much assume that they could probably handle it just like they could handle Demon Slayer. Unfortunately, today's youth knows so much these days that anything is sort of hands off. They only get in a tizzy about it when it becomes a bit political, when a work in question has racist or sexist or homophobic type of material. Other than that, I'm not really as complete about sex and violence.
That's a good reason to get, that's a much better reason than anything else to get up front. And if you feel it's racist or homophobic or transphobic, I mean, it's better than just saying, oh, you said a naughty word. But, that's just me. My analysis on the matter?
Well, my politics are quite left-wing, so I kind of get where you're here. But I know, when you get into that sort of discussion, people get really heated, a lot more than even just, violence. Only sex does it come close to that sort of matter, because, sex for the most part, and nudity, can rub people sort of the wrong way if you're not careful. Most people can handle a bikini, but when you start showing a penis or two, or someone's even going farther to show someone's vulva, anus.
That's more reflection on our society rather than the films, because the people in France or Italy probably wouldn't give two shits about that.
No, you're probably right there. France has become just a little bit more conservative on sexual stuff, to where they gave Sausage Party a 12 rather than like a avertissement. which is like a PG type.
But a 12 in comparison to a 15 or an R and nearly an NC-17 in America. But it really does put it in perspective, though, doesn't it? And the BBFC even reckoned now it'd be an 18. So, I mean, because of the orgy scene at the end.
Yeah, no, I don't see why they would think that that's 18 material. It's not...
Nor me.
It's, let's just say it's not La Blue Girl. It's not Legend of the Overfiend. I know I'm repeating myself.
It's foodstuffs. I mean, it's a bunch of anthropomorphic foodstuffs, just CGI doing vaguely sexual things with each other. Yeah, I mean, it's not freaking pornographic. It's just ridiculous.
Now, here's the funniest thing about that. It's a whole sort of hullabaloo about Team American Sausage Party being 15s instead of 18s. They've done quite the opposite with Waltz of Bashir, a disturbing war documentary that's animated by from Israel about the war in Lebanon. They gave that an 18 because of an explicit sex scene involving two animated characters fucking. You see penetration, but, you know, it's within the context of a documentary. It's political. It's not meant to be smart.
That's just, that's just sounds silly. By the way, it was called Legend of Vox Machina, that that Prime TV cartoon about Dungeons and Dragons I was on about earlier.
Legends of Vox Machina.
Yeah, much like Invincible, it's very adult orientated. I mean, most of the episodes are 15 rated, some are 18 rated, so the whole series gets an 18. But boy, it's violent. There's a lot of swearing as well. It doesn't pull any punches.
Wow, sounds like a more extreme version of Fire and Ice and Wizards by Ralph Bakshi. Ralph Bakshi, the king of adult cartoons.
Yeah, I haven't seen all his stuff, but I did see Fire and Ice. Yeah, this stuff's pretty cool. That's a name we could have brought up earlier. Because one name I was going to bring up was Hayao Miyazaki and his Studio Ghibli.
Oh, yes, definitely, because we are talking about anime and adult animation together because, in my opinion, they're more or less kind of the same thing because most animes are usually 12 or 15 or higher.
Yeah,
I don't see a lot of animes that are PG or U, except for, the Miyazakis.
Yeah, I mean, his, though, I mean, they are... Yeah, they are, most are PGs and everything, although a few more get the U rating over here, but they do get G in America, the Howl's Moving Castle being one of them. But that just, you know, if anything, everyone goes thinks, anime's just gone and pornish, just edgelord stuff. It's like, no, it ain't, mate. Watch this stuff. It's actually really delightful, really charming and sweet stuff. I mean, I've gone through all Miyazaki's works now. I'm slowly getting through the Studio Ghibli stuff. Unfortunately, Netflix doesn't have Grave of the Fireflies, which is a real bummer. I want to watch that. I'm getting through most of them, and they're just so charming and delightful. I mean, even like Princess Mononoke, which can be a bit violent in some places, it's not, I wouldn't say it's gratuitous or anything, and it's not horrible. I mean, it sort of fits in with the overall narrative, and maybe I'm just looking at the pretty scenery and then listening to the nice score behind it, but you just...
No, you're not alone. It's a masterpiece of visual design and animation. Very many movies quite like it, except for maybe like a stop-motion work like Coraline or Missing Link or Kubo.
Yeah, not seen Kubo. Gotta see Kubo. Because I've heard that's like absolutely just the absolute best thing ever. Huh? I think it's been a critical darling and it's considered an absolute injustice ever, but it didn't do well at the box office. So, I mean, I got to watch that just to check it out and see what everyone's going on about. Because when the critics do say something is good, I mean, they usually get very right, and I'll be so glad I took the time out of the day to watch it. We're just watching the Hayao Miyazaki stuff. You do just get a nice, nice warm fuzzy feeling inside you watching it. I watch it in the original Japanese mainly because I think I find there's a sort of sense of purity to watching the anime in its Japanese. So you can
totally understand. Well, you know, as it was intended by the audience itself. But for me, I've just become so accustomed to dubbed versions of Japanimation that it almost seems a little numbing also because sometimes the humor can get lost in translation. But, you know, I would more or less be happy to revisit Mononoke in its Japanese dialogue with English subtitles, or even French, so I can increase my language proficiency.
Well, that's a good. That's definitely a good idea. I mean, have you heard of Hellsing?
Yep, I have seen Volume 1 when it came out. I got on Love Film back in the day. I haven't seen Hellsing Ultimate, though. I hear it's extremely violent, like 18.
It is. It's fucking grim. Yeah, I watched... It's Hellsing Ultimate, the one that was 18 one that came out in 06. Now, okay, I've been curious... The new one. Now, I've been curious to watch it, just for whatever. I've seen a lot about it. But I did make sure... That one I did watch dubbed, because one drawback to watching dubbed anime is when if there's an international cast, they don't take into account the various accents. Like, everyone just sounds like they came from downtown Tokyo or downtown Hiroshima or something, in spite of wherever they're supposed to come from. Whereas the English dub does take into account the various different accents of all the various nationalities of all the characters. And of course,
I get that.
Yeah, just the suspension of disbelief and all that in this show about vampires and mutants and all that stuff. I had to take that. But sometimes, though, I do like prefer the... Mostly, yeah, I just prefer to watch it in the subbed. I mean, I was watching one of the... It wasn't Mobile Suit Gundam. It was the Evangelion films that came out. Evangelion Rebuild films. That's what it was, watching them. And there was one scene in one of them where one of the characters suddenly starts speaking in English and has Japanese subtitles going along the bottom. If you watch it in the English dub, that scene just isn't going to make much sense as it does when you watch it in Japanese.
Okay, I get that. Because there was an episode of Exo Saga where that happened, where one of the characters say, well, I don't want to put on an offensive dialect, but let's just say, I come from America, from Japan. How you do? And they, you know, that was from the Japanese version, but the English version, you see, does some sort of like, hey, yo, I'm XL. I'm from Japan. Hi, nice to meet you. And then someone else says, shit.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
it does sort of like
jarring.
Again, it breaks the suspension of disbelief about something that you're watching, which could be about, I don't know, giant robots or aliens or whatever that thing was about. Anime does cover a whole range of things. Again, it's a medium, not a genre. It can be about whatever you want.
No, you're absolutely right. Because there's many anime that falls through different types of genres and styles. A mecha work is not the same as like a romantic comedy like Love Hina. It's not the same as a horror type of work like Toko or Tokyo Ghoul and Elfen Lied. And it's not like a child's work like Shin-chan or Totoro.
Oh, that's a great film.
Because there's a distributor not too far away from Monmouthshire, NVM Entertainment. I was just curious if you've ever visited their offices.
I have. Well, basically, while I do live in Wales, I'm basically stationed in Cardiff, and I don't venture outside of it a huge amount to save to go. I mean,
a little earlier about adult animation. I know for your experience, because you're a bit older than I am. How did you get into it?
Well, adult animation.
Yeah, because
basically, growing up as a kid, you like your cartoons and everything. And of course, you always get this idea that, you know, originally just says, oh, cartoons are for kids. At one point, you're going to have to grow out of it. Then you start to see things like Simpsons, like you can watch the cartoons. They don't have to be so childish. And then you see, then you see your Family Guys, your South Park. So I actually saw South Park before I saw Family Guy. But of course, they have like these sort of cartoony appeal to them that appeals to kids. But then of course, you've got all the naughty stuff, which as a kid just make you want to see it even more and everything. And I just sort of went from there. And of course, as I grew up, the idea that animation was ever a thing just for kids just dissolved from my mind. And it can appeal to all demographics and all age groups. That is something that's just disappeared. Yeah, well, that's clearly just a thing that's disappeared anyway, because, as I've mentioned, those shows, Invincible and Vox Machina, I mean, those are cartoons that are clearly for adults, but they're not just simply comedic cartoons that are just adults, like that was originally the original concept. No, those are, they are very serious cartoons, and they can appeal to a fully grown-up fan base, just like Final Space did, although that was maybe for kids as well, but it appeals to the grown-ups, and BoJack Horseman, which, while it's meant to be comedic, it really, when it comes down to it, is very heavy-hearted, very serious, and can punch you right in the feels when it wants to.
From the certain episodes I have seen of BoJack, it definitely has moments that are quite hard-hitting. It was even the episode, because I got into the one particular episode, because it was 18 certificate, because I think it referenced autoerotic asphyxiation or suicide. And yeah, it looked like one of the characters was getting aroused by strangling himself, which, that's quite a heavy topic for particularly cartoons or even just comedies in general. That's kind of fetish material.
Well, I don't know if it was meant to be like fetishizing it. I can't remember that particular scene, but I do know only one episode ever has been rated 18. Therefore, the whole damn show has been rated 18, because that's the logic we have to follow. The whole show is a big send up or takedown of just the Hollywood lifestyle, and just basically just, you know, these sheltered, jaded Hollywood actors or stars and everything who live in their mansions and probably just doing tons of coke and everything. And, it's just probably comes the point where they get such a tolerance to all sorts of things. They have to keep just going to all these sick, depraved levels just to get any enjoyment out of anything. Obviously, it's just that's obviously, I think, a point it was trying to make.
No, I agree with you there. Well, it's a satire, more or less, of the entertainment industry in Hollywood. Which I'm assuming is something that a typical 7-year-old who's just curious to see, because it's a cartoon, probably won't get or understand. That's the inherent charm of it all. Animation can tell many stories, be it from Japan or the UK or US, that otherwise live action films, sometimes may struggle with for budgetary reasons. It's not to say budget doesn't constrain animation projects. I mean, look at particularly stuff like 2D TV, which looks a bit cheap on the surface, but it actually is quite funny as a whole, because you think, because it's quick satire, they make it on the cheap. So yes.
Well, I think that's the idea. It's just, you can tell any story you want with animation, because you don't have to worry about building the set or like designing the costumes there. I mean, you just draw it or you design a computer. You get your voice actors in to do the voicing, and that's pretty much it. I think back in the days, that's how they saw it, because voice actors probably wouldn't give that much put that much effort into it. But of course, now they do.
Now they do.
Take a lot more seriously than it used to be, and I think we're better off for it.
I would agree with that too. Also, the industry has become increasingly because of the pandemic, so they've decided to make more animations accessible, at least for the mainstream public, whether it be there for children or adults. So I think that's a good thing there. But it does, I know it seems like to the audience listening, we're not talking about film ratings and classification, but it can be a bit overwhelming trying to keep up with all the new titles that come out here and there. So I usually just stick with nostalgic classics that I'm usually familiar with, to try to ease any sort of overload, if you get what I mean. But animation censorship is definitely one of interest. So is the anime. It's more or less so than the adult animations, even. They're usually a victim of being axed or cut to many degrees because of the sexual content and at times violence.
Well, bearing in mind, a lot of those animes came out on video during the James Furman era. You know what he was like during on video. So yeah, they would just hack him to pieces.
Oh no, he definitely would. A lot of those titles particularly, I didn't really see, well, obviously because of the age restrictions, at least back in the 90s, I didn't start getting into anime until a little later in my life. My introduction to the art form actually was through Daft Punk's One More Time music video, which I used to watch on MTV Dance and MTV back in the day. When music videos were good and music was great, you could go to HMV and Virgin Megastore and get the CD or cassette of it. Because a lot of the anime that they were showing at the time was like Dragon Ball Z and Tenchimoyo on Toonami and Cartoon Network, which I didn't connect with. And it wasn't until XL Saga and Complete Collection of Elf and Lee that you could get for £35 that I started getting into it a lot more. Hey, you can't go wrong.
Well, that's fair. I mean, like I say, we always have our stepping stones and everything. You could do out of any sort of any sort of medium. But like I say, I mean, remember the first anime film I ever saw was parts one and two of Crying Freeman, and of course that had an 18 on, and of course me and my mate always picked up saying, an 18 rated cartoon. Good. I wonder what it shows. Because you think, well, it's animation, they're going to be more lenient, so must be showing so much more. But of course, yeah, I was quite taken back by the amount of blood in it. Surprised the level of nudity wasn't that extreme. I say surprised. I mean disappointed, because I was a hormonal teenager. And but yeah, But yeah, I mean, and of course I heard about things like Akira and Legend of the Earth Fiend, and of course, Akira, I don't think you can say, what can you say about that film that hasn't been said a million times now?
It's considered awesome. One of the legends, and it's visually stunning, and it's one of the few Japanese animated works that actually uses mouth syncing much properly, because most of the characters move their mouths up and down. But Akira is one of the few exceptions.
That's true. I think. But certainly, yeah, they've certainly got a slightly higher frame rate than most anime, which does tend to have quite slow frame rates, which couldn't help but notice. Because, yeah, that's the difference between anime and Western animation, is that anime does have a slower frame rate, but on a rebound, it can have more attention to detail in the drawings. You know, I mean, yeah, and everything does just generally look better in anime. I don't know which came first, the fact they do more detailed drawings, which prevents them from being able to animate it at such a high frame rate, or they unable to do it at such a fast frame rate. But on the flip side, I think, well, we can put more attention to the drawings.
I would say they probably wanted to focus more on the sort of action scenes or the sexual stuff for budgetary reasons, because that's what gets most people watching. Dialogue bits, and I've even noticed this on even mid-budget works, they will usually sort of cut away to a landscape or pan a wide shot and, you know, show them sort of stationary or have the character look down, but you never see their mouths moving up and down. Except for just a brief flash. That's kind of how they save on the cost of animation and frames by doing it that way. This is definitely evident on Evangelion, especially on the last episode, because Gainax went bankrupt and they couldn't afford to put too much sales into the animation, to where people complained episodes 25 and 26 and 24 look like radio plays or art installations.
Well, I mean, let's face it. It is good art, because as I mentioned earlier, the attention to detail on all the various the people or the objects on there is far superior than you get in any Western animation, which you see it and it just looks like a bunch of shapes just hastily put together. But again, that does make it, I mean, they have a higher frame rate, which does make it more animated. Which I suppose with animation is something you may expect.
Well, when it comes to Western animation, I think it's the stop motion works that usually will intrigue me the most in terms of detail and specification. I've seen stuff like Anomalisa and Coraline. And yes, our wonderful fellas in Bristol, you probably have visited the Aardman facility, done Chicken Run and Shaun the Sheep. They are the legends.
Yeah. Wallace and basically Nick Park and Wallace and Gromit, we're talking about, right?
Indeed, there, Gromit. Oh, I want some Wensleydale there.
Oh, that no, was, Gromit!
That was uncannily lifelike. That was sounded just like him.
Get the old night extractor, there, lad. He's a bit northern.
Cracking cheese. Cracking cheese, Gromit. I can't do it. But just let you know, the Zoom is telling me I've got just over 3.5 minutes left of this meeting.
Don't worry too much about it. If it does cancel you out, I'll put you back on again. I won't be saying too much, though. But I will say, like you said about the 18 certificate animation, my first one I ever saw, weirdly enough, was Perfect Blue. And you
I've
know
not
that's
seen
a
that.
Disturbing... Oh, sorry. I gave it away. It's a disturbing...
No, I've heard about it, though, so you don't have to... So it's not too much that I'm... Yeah.
But my favorite 18 certificate anime is Puni Puni Poeme. And then my favorite 18 animation is probably Walter Bashir or The Big Bang or something. You probably have seen those.
Walter Bashir, what was it called again?
The Big Bang, or Le Big Bang. It's from Belgium. I interviewed the bloke who did it. His name is Pisha.
All right. I don't think I have seen that, but I might have to. I don't know if I've even heard about this one before. Now I bring it up.
It came out at the height of the Viz Comics craze around like the late 80s and stuff, when a lot of, you know, like northern lads were reading like Viz because it was quite funny watching Sid the Sexist be a proper Geordie making offensive jokes about women's breasts and stuff. I can't do a Newcastle dialect. I'm too southern, if you know, if you got me.
Yeah, I know. I'm quite southern myself. I'm actually quite southern western and all that. But I could probably... Yeah, but...
Like West Country, like...
Yeah, well, you've seen Hot Fuzz, haven't you?
Oh, yes. It's one of my favourite Edgar Wright films.
Edge and Edge, only cut it down because everybody was complaining about.
Well, do like someone like from Bristol, right? It's not M Trip Hop and Poltergeist in Albany. Have you seen the new like Mess for Tech music video? Like, I've gone down Cornwall and I've got Mason Trip Hop with Aphex Twin and Mark Diver.
Yeah, I know earlier on I was just saying about Puni Puni Poeme. That's a very raunchy, creepy animation. Well, not creepy as in disturbing, but just like a bit, oh, they got away with murder, didn't they? It's hilarious. Little sort of OVA of two episodes that got an 18 in the UK, but actually was banned in New Zealand, weirdly enough, because they thought it, let's just say,
as fodder for nonces. But it's not. It's not film. It's satire.
Well, I can. Well, yeah. In that case, but it was just weird because there was one called Mermaid Valkyrie or Valkyrie Mermaid. What the hell was it called again? That did get banned over here by the BBFC due to the age of some of the two main leads and how they are just sexualized in a incredibly wrong manner.
Yeah, I for legal reasons we don't want that sort of thing to be happening. It's already caused problems with stuff like, I know I keep repeating La Blue Girl, but that's the work that people who know about anime and the BBFC tend to refer to because I think number two was banned, rejected, because it was viewed as sexualizing children, which is something you should never really do. You wouldn't do it to your own daughter, so why would you do it to your own? But at the same time, some of these animes, I have to wonder, is this even legal to even watch? Because This Ugly Yet Beautiful World, that's an anime from People Done Evangelion. That has a lot of scenes of characters that look like they could be 10. And it's got a lot of shots of their breasts or bums. It feels creepy. I don't know how to approach something like that, so I don't even bother watching it. But
well,
then again,
well, I mean, Sailor Moon had that, was creepy enough, where it would just linger on this very young, it would linger on his young girl's skirt and everything, or even up it. And she was just, well, I don't know how old she was meant to be, but she was obviously, if she was old enough, she was barely, and obviously looked very young. But anime and video games that are influenced by anime do seem to have quite a bit of a problem with sexualizing ridiculously young girls, like schoolgirls and what have you.
No, you're absolutely right. I find it tasteless there. You know, when I was going through my hormonal phase with anime, I would mostly just stick to the titles where the characters at least looked like they were adults. It's a bit hard to tell because they don't exactly state their ages or whatnot. So I don't know how to approach. I know Elfen Lied particularly has some disturbing material, and there's a lot of scenes of what could be appearing as childlike characters because they're very wide-eyed and they have small frames with their breasts out and everything in between. But I feel guilty for many years that I was somehow going to be prosecuted for watching this anime because it had stuff like that. And also on episode 5, there's a scene where a young girl is sexually assaulted by her father. It's not explicit, but it's very disturbing. I saw it on TV one time, and they aired on Propeller, which was on Sky, at 9:30 at night. And they put a disclaimer at the end warning people who are victims of abuse and rape, call this number. And that scene terrified me for so many years, I didn't even watch Elfen Lied or complete it until years later.
Well, yeah.
How about that for a story?
That's quite a harrowing, quite grim story.
Yeah, I'm sorry to go with such a serious topic like that, but
it does bear talking about, considering we are talking about stuff that does have quite controversially portray very young characters in what is quite in controversial positions and situations and everything. So yeah, I mean, we can't really talk about that without bringing up what you did.
Exactly. I was worried my parents were going to know I was watching Elfen Lied, which had this sort of material. It was a 15, but it had the sort of 18 level material and then some. And I thought, oh, so for a long time, I didn't want to even see that episode or even finish it until like 2 or 3 years later, I had the gumption to finish it again. And, If you've seen it, or if you will see it, you'll know what I'm talking about.
One episode which even has basically animal cruelty in it.
A dog is bashed, beaten, and there's blood everywhere, but you don't see impact shots. You just hear the crunching and it's grim.
As a young dog as well, grim. If I'm mistaken.
A little puppy. The sort of thing that John Wick would go in a rampage for. And
rightly so.
Our child character who plays and, does the character, she gets so angry at the bullies beating her dog to death that she uses her telekinetic powers to explode and kill them all. And there's blood everywhere. And the fact that you also have scenes of child murder and dismemberment is really another thing that really put me to the edge as well.
I do wonder if the killing of a dog was really necessary for like the writers really to make that. They could have made the bullies try to kill the dog, and then she goes like Super Saiyan or whatever it was and kills them. You know, that way they could have done it without the puppy having to die. It's just a thought.
Well, they were going for shock value. It never aired on regular TV in Japan. It was aired on satellite television uncut. So I'm not surprised they just went, for the jugular, if you know what I mean. That episode in question, I saw it when I had the gumption to finish it up because I wasn't so scared of Elfen Lied anymore. So that scene it was really disturbing and violent, but it didn't bother me as episode 5 did with the rape and sexual assault stuff. That's one of the few issues I'm going to be quite at edge about. And I also... Child dignity is another issue I don't really take too kindly. The Simpsons movie, it's a PG. And that scene where you see Bart's cock for 3 seconds, that even put me at edge. Like, no, what are you doing?
Yeah, but at least with that one, it's done. The it's not done in a sexual manner. It's done in a completely humorous manner. So you can sort of just say, okay, you can sort of work your way around that one and everything. But yeah, what you've been speaking about, yeah, that's just wrong. And in terms of it doing a number on you, not want to watch it again. Yeah, I know the feeling. I saw RoboCop for the first time when I was five. And I was a little bit disturbed by the scene where they shoot Murphy and everything. Took me a while before I could watch it again.
Yeah, I'm ashamed to admit it to people in public because a lot of the stuff I was disturbed by when I was growing up were Fink ads, road safety ads, and ads for NSPCC. So by a margin, I'm not surprised I was disturbed by that Elf and Lead episode because the NSPCC ads showing the child being neglected or beaten by his parents was too close to home. I don't know. Did you feel the same way when you saw ads for like the protection of children by the NSPCC or road safety ads where people crash in the cars?
Yep. Yep. And they, yep. And
nightmare never, fuel. Nightmare. Yeah,
the never play with matches ads and the don't climb onto power lines ads and everything. Always, when I was a little kid, they just used to give me the shits and everything. And always just, I had a very overactive imagination as a kid, so I just thought the whole world was out to get me.
Exactly. You know, the sort of things I was scared of were maybe a little strange to some because it's not, oh, goblins or monsters, but, you know, the realistic stuff is more terrifying. I'd be spooked by a movie about George Floyd having his knee, you know, a knee on his neck, or Russians invading Ukraine and killing and raping anyone they see fit because they disagree with them. Now, that would be a horror film or anime I would go see, but people would not like it because they would say it's too political and it's propaganda. So... yeah, it's a double-edged sword there.
I know animation-wise, this may not be an adult cartoon, but Hunchback of Notre Dame was a bit close to the needle. With the Claude Frollo character being, you know, a sexual deviant who creeps up on Esmeralda and threatens and says violent stuff and even kills Quasimodo's mother. This is the Disney version we're talking about. And that's a U certificate. I thought that should have been a PG through and through.
I haven't actually seen Hunchback of Notre Dame. I can't actually give a comment. Now I've mentioned it, I probably should watch it on Disney Plus just to get it off my bucket list. And then it'd be just cool enough to hear Tony Jay's voice again. So I mean, there's that. And
indeed, we have to find ways to kill the gypsies, Quasi.
Yeah, him and Tim Curry, those two could always just provide brilliant. Brilliant voice work, just about anything. Yeah, anyway, what about... I just want to think, what about adult animations?
Well, mostly adult animations didn't freak me out for the month, but I mean, there was an episode of King of the Hill which showed two old people having sex, which I did not expect to see at 2 p.m. in the afternoon on FX. The UK FX, which is now Fox, but not US FX. I was like, whoa, because I've never seen sex scenes, at least in an animated work at that time. So I was like,
I haven't watched a lot of King of the Hill, so I can't really comment on that too much.
It's a hilarious show. I think it's better than South Park, but it's a bit low level, a bit too mild for what people might be sort of used to. It's also very Americanized. Texas type of humor. I remember the most involve a man dressed as a pig trying to stalk Luann. He's like the adopted daughter. And then one which involves foot fetishism. Yes, there was actually an episode about that, and it's a 12 certificate on the Series 2 or Series 3 DVD.
Yeah, like I say, I mean, I haven't seen a huge amount of episodes, so I don't think I've seen that one either.
Yeah. As you can probably tell, I'm a little bit nostalgic for sort of 2000s, 90s era cartoons and adult animations.
Did you ever watch Monkey Dust?
Actually, I only saw clips of it growing up, but I finally got to see quite a few episodes of it lately. Now, that's one show that's really boundary pushing. It's a 15, for anyone's curious.
Yeah, I actually thought when I saw it was going to be an 18. When I found they did let it out of a 15, it was like, wow, I'm surprised.
Because there was one episode involving, you know, LGBT man sticking you know, a very realistic dildo up his mouth. I was not expecting that to occur. And jokes about child molestation, pedophilia, as a guy checks the internet and does some what's the word you call it, catfishing, or yeah
probably quite creepy. Being basically an internet predator and everything, it's just grim as absolute fuck. Not to mention the little Timmy who goes visits his divorced dad, and he's just not interested. The dad always goes commits suicide in one incredibly morbid, well, it's always morbid, incredibly horrifying way. And then the kid finally goes, "Daddy, I didn't mean those things I said. I love you, Dad." He's like, "Oh God."
Well, here's the reason why I like those segments out of all the other ones, is because Boards of Canada, one of my favorite musicians, gets their song played on it.
Who again?
Boards of Canada.
Boards of Canada. Never heard of them.
They're actually from Edinburgh, Scotland. They actually went to Calgary when they were from wee kids. But they often like to claim about PSAs and public information forms back from their childhood.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was a terrible...
was actually quite... No, that was quite good. Don't be too hard on yourself. That was a... it's better Scottish accent that freaking than Mel Gibson did in Braveheart.
Oh, he's a fucking wee crap. Oh, that, you anti-Semitic cunt, like,
there's a wee, that's a wee bit of crap, Mac.
No, exactly. Well, you know, those Scottish lads, at least my time I've visited them, they could be a pretty foul-mouthed, opinionated bunch, but you know what? You gotta love them for their tenacity.
Aren't we supposed to be talking about animation?
Oh, yes. I know, I've got you off topic there. But
not so much for us, and more for whoever's listening who are just tuning in to hear two people talk about animation and anime, and now we're talking about Fast and Furious films. I mean, what the fuck?
No, exactly there, but I'll be most likely editing and splicing a few things together. Plus, you know how people are. They like Joe Rogan, his right-wing stupid ass.
He's a fucking chud. I hate this.
And he goes off in tangents like it's nothing. So I'm going to steal off a rule off his playbook and claim it as my own. Because if Joe Rogan can do it, so can I.
Well, that makes perfect sense. At least we're not spreading COVID misinformation.
No, we're not there, man. Because, you know, these stupid liberals and SJWs, they don't like the woke left, you know. I'm doing Rogan in case you're wondering.
Yeah, I don't think you sound much like him. He's got a very deep voice, probably been doing steroids. And,
if you want to see Elon Musk smoke weed live on Joe Rogan, it's pretty good. I bought the rights to
Twitter. I'm Elon Musk. I sound like an Afrikaner, but I'm Canadian. I don't know what accent I have. You know.
He's from South Africa, but I mean, you know.
He's got no
choice. Yeah, well, bollocks to him anyway. I have no interest.
Exactly. I mean, there.
We've got much else topics to cover?
I think we've said our piece there. I actually was just about to say I'm probably going to end this interview for now, and hopefully people like what we have to say about anime and adult animation. If you, like you said earlier on, if you are a fan of Monkey Dust, check out Jam. It's by Chris Morris. Or Paranoia Agent.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of those got cut because of a suicide scene.
Yep, that's Paranoia Agent. Episode 8, Happy Family Planning, showing a child hanging herself and her family as for laughs. For the same reason Ren and Stimpy was cut, because it trivialized the subject.
Fuck me, that is, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty grim. I personally think it should have been uncut at 15, but because in the US it's uncut. They edit on Adult Swim, Cartoon Network Late at Night, with a TV-14. With a content advisory saying, if you have suicidal thoughts, please call this number right now.
Yeah, well, that's probably the best way to go about doing it.